Welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Wednesday, February 7th, 2024. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighttown.com. Thank you for joining me today. And today we're featuring Roger Stone in a special nearly one-hour interview where we cover, well, Donald Trump, the Trump presidency that appears to be coming up here again soon, how Trump beats his opponents for a third time, and what Roger Stone thinks the next Trump administration might be in terms of its actions, not the makeup of individuals, but what it's likely to do. And many other questions, too. I talked to Roger about Russia and about the Middle East. And we talk about, of course, the border invasion, what's happening with the overrunning and occupation of the United States of America and the possibility of civil war and so much more. Now, the overall topic today is my working title is that only a Trump victory can save the Union. And I've come to this conclusion after, you know, hundreds of interviews of experts and also daily news analysis, trends analysis. But overall, it is clear that if the Democrats rig this election again, and they're already trying to rig it by removing Trump from the ballot, of course, of multiple states. I think Hawaii is working on something like that now. I mean, this is how much Democrats fear elections. They can't even allow you to vote for someone on the ballot. And then they call this defending democracy. I mean, the hypocrisy is nauseating. But if the Democrats steal this election, it's clear to me that probably starting with Texas, we're going to have a massive split. We're going to have secession, and there's going to be a domino effect because we've seen something remarkable in the last few weeks. Not only did Governor Abbott of Texas tell the Biden regime that we, Texas, were going to defend the border and that you, the federal government, you have broken your compact with the states. That's a quote from a Governor Abbott letter to the Biden regime, saying that we, Texas, we have a constitutional right to defend our state if the federal government shuns its responsibilities under the Constitution, which is exactly what Biden and the Democrats are doing on purpose, of course. We'll talk about why here in a second. But for the first time, we've seen now 25 additional states stand with Texas and stand up and say, yes, the federal government has failed us, and we cannot live like this. We cannot be a country like this. And because it's absolutely clear that Alejandro Mayorkas and other officials in the Biden regime, they are committed to the ongoing invasion and takedown of the United States of America, and Democrats are committed to this for a reason I'll talk about here, it's clear that if they stay in power, that the United States of America cannot survive. And thus, out of a sense of survival or desperation, half of America, if not more, will split off from the federal government. This is in the scenario if Biden wins, which can only happen by cheating, of course, so I shouldn't even use the term wins. If Biden steals the election again, then we're going to see states split off. And then we're not going to have the United States of America. We're going to have the former United States of America and probably the new America states. And maybe Texas will be the capital, who knows? And the states will elect their own officials, their own president, their own Supreme Court. I think Ted Cruz would make an excellent justice on the new America Supreme Court, by the way, just saying. But the point is, we're going to have all kinds of new structures, maybe a gold-backed currency, you know, honest money, you would think, health freedom in the new Constitution, and also a more detailed Second Amendment that says specifically every citizen can own every kind of gun that is made today. And there can be no such restriction. You know, I mean, it can go into a lot more detail. We need a stronger First Amendment, and we need a Health Freedom Amendment in the new Constitution. And this is how things will go. Because, again, the Democrats and the Biden regime, they despise America, and they are actively working to destroy America. And there are enough red states now who are standing up and saying, no, that they won't let Biden do that to the whole country. Yeah, Biden can destroy the Democrat states. California will be destroyed. Oregon, you know, Washington, Illinois, New York, whatever, Connecticut, Maryland, they will all be destroyed by the policies of the Democrats. And I think what will happen actually is you'll have like Northern California split off from Southern California. You'll have Eastern Oregon secede from Western Oregon, or maybe you'll have a union of like Southeastern Oregon and Northern California forming a new state, like the Jefferson State or something. Maybe you'll have Eastern Washington join Idaho, you know? Maybe you'll have parts of Illinois break off and join Missouri or something. We're going to see a total remake of the nation if this election is stolen. Now, how do they plan to steal it? And why is it the end of America if the Democrats steal the election one more time? Well, for a number of reasons. But the most important reason is that, you know, this mass immigration invasion that has been underway this entire time for years, but now it's like 5,000 to 10,000 people a day, military age males coming across the border for the most part, just a total invasion, overrunning cities like Denver and New York City, Chicago, even cities in Texas, Los Angeles, Seattle. Some of these cities are panicking now. Even Denver says they're at a breaking point. New York City mayor says the city will be destroyed by the influx of illegals. And they're not even getting that many compared to Texas, by the way. But you know what this is all about? It's about granting them all amnesty before the election to let them vote for Democrats. This is how they plan to do it. They plan to grant amnesty. Well, originally, they planned to kind of shove this through Congress before the coming election and to grant instant amnesty to tens of millions of illegals so they could vote Democrat, because most of them will vote Democrat because they come from socialist countries and they think the Democrats support them. Actually, the Democrats are just exploiting them and are more than happy to toss them away after the election, you know, just like Democrats do to blacks in America. The Democrats don't love black people. They just want to exploit black people for their vote. And then after that, it's like, hey, go away, get away. We don't want to hear from you for another 4 years, you know? Same thing with the Hispanics and the illegals. The Democrats don't care about anybody but themselves and their own power. But they had planned to push a bill through Congress and get amnesty. And they had some neocons on board with that, like Mitch McConnell, for example. Quite a few neocons in the Senate are being paid off by powerful corporations that need all this additional labor from the illegals, and they wanted to get this through. That plan is now dead, by the way. You know why it's dead? One of the reasons why? Because of people like Michael Yon and Ann Vandersteel and many others who have gone to the border and have exposed the invasion, and also like Owen Schroyer and the whole InfoWars crew and many other people, and Tucker Carlson covering this, on and on. Even Dr. Phil is touring the border and talking about how bad the situation is. It's incredible. So because the independent journalist people like Michael Yon raised the alarm, they can't shove this through Congress anymore this year. I mean, believe it or not, Michael Yon may have played a pivotal role in saving America. And not just Michael, but I mean, so many people around him, but he has spearheaded this. I'm going to have Michael in studio here shortly, by the way, for an update. He's returned from Panama with his coverage of the Darien Gap and so much more. But Michael Yon is an American hero, and so is Ann Vandersteel, by the way. She's also an American national hero, by the way, for those of you who follow her work. But the point is, even this new Senate deal that was declared over the weekend, that's now dead. The deal that was going to give $60 billion to Ukraine and like almost $20 billion to Israel, but nothing to protect the U.S. border, and even allowing, codifying, was like 1.8 million illegals per year to come into the United States. That's dead. That's dead in the water. In fact, there's a story on the Post Millennial about Senators Ted Cruz and Mike Lee. They're calling for Mitch McConnell to be removed from the Senate. Or I'm sorry, from the leadership of the Senate, after his, quote, disqualifying betrayal on the border bill. Senator Mike Lee says, Senate GOP leadership screwed this up and screwed us. That's harsh language, man. Even while refusing to let us see the bill they claimed to be negotiating on our behalf for months, they were never in doubt, insisting we'd be dumb and even unpatriotic not to support it. This is a disqualifying betrayal. And he goes on and says, this feels like an elaborate practical joke, but it's not funny, not one bit. I cannot understand how any Republican would think this was a good idea or anything other than an unmitigated disaster. We need new leadership now. And Senator Cruz said that, I think a Republican leader should actually lead this conference and should advance the priorities of Republicans. Gee, what do you think? Because Mitch McConnell is a traitor. He is a treasonous actor who, in my view, should be considered for prosecution. Arrest and prosecution for his betrayal of the United States of America. But anyway, because of this, they can't shove amnesty through Congress, not before the election. So what's their plan? Well, it's a desperate plan by the Democrats to try to legalize the illegals by executive order. Now, that's probably not going to work, but they're desperate enough to try it. But the other plan is, if they can cheat again and keep Biden in the White House, well, they also plan to cheat so much in the Senate and in the House that they can have a supermajority, and then they'll ram it through Congress. And then America's done. It's over. There will never be a Republican elected again. That's why this election is the last election of America, unless Trump wins, in which case we have a future. But if Trump doesn't win, if the Democrats cheat and steal, then this is it. It'll be a one-party state. It'll be over for the Republic. Absolute collapse, lawlessness, tyranny will take over. And about half the states will secede, and it's over. Then we lose America. We lose the Union. Again, this will be the last election unless Trump wins. Now, it may be that a new America is the only solution here, because the system is so corrupt. There are so many traitors, even in the Republican Party. For example, today, and this is covered by Zero Hedge, House lawmakers failed to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, under whose tenure more than 10 million illegal immigrants have entered into the U.S. Three Republicans, turncoats, voted with House Democrats. And then a fourth one, Blake Moore of Utah, flipped to a no in order to preserve the ability to bring motions to reconsider. So the three Republicans who are open border traitors to America are Ken Buck of Colorado, Tom McClintock of California, and Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin. Okay, three traitors in the GOP. They could have impeached Mayorkas, who not only needs to be impeached, but probably needs to be prosecuted criminally for what he is doing to this country. But there are always enough turncoat Republicans, aren't there, to turn against America and keep the border wide open and keep the invasion coming. Ken Buck, Tom McClintock, Mike Gallagher, absolute traitors to America. And they're in the GOP. Now, of course, every single Democrat in the House is also voting with the traitors. They are traitors to America. They are going to vote for unlimited illegal immigration because, of course, this is their plan to grant all those illegals amnesty, to outvote the American people, to displace the American people. And ultimately, because they're military age males, you know what the plan is. The plan of the illegals is to slaughter the American people, to murder them, to have an uprising, a sabotage, and a purge, an actual purge day where they just run around murdering all Americans that they can find. That's what's coming. That's what the Democrats want. That's what the Democrats are enabling. The Democrats, without exception in the House, without exception, the Democrats are actively engaged in the treasonous wartime invasion and overthrow of the United States of America. So even if Trump wins the election, can he stop all that? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we may already be lost as a nation, but if anybody can hold the union together at this point, it's Trump. Even Breitbart was covering this. Biden gives game plan away. Senate bill is a precursor to amnesty for illegals. And from that story, President Joe Biden says a bill from Senators James Lankford, Republican of Oklahoma, Chris Murphy, Democrat, Connecticut, and Kirsten Sinema, Arizona, is merely a precursor to ramming amnesty for millions of illegal aliens through Congress. Biden praised the Senate bill that would expand overall immigration to the United States by codifying his parole pipeline that has freed hundreds of thousands of border crossers into the nation's interior. It's been millions. Breitbart is downplaying this. But Biden suggested in his speech that the bill is only the beginning. He said, quote, "The bill doesn't address everything I wanted. For example, we still need to pass documentation for people that are already here. That means amnesty." He says, quote, "And we're not walking away from true immigration reform, including permanent protections and a pathway to citizenship for young dreamers who came here when they were children and have been good citizens and contributed so much to our country," he says. But he's not just talking about dreamers. He's talking about all the illegals who are here right now, who just came over illegally. He wants citizenship for them. Now, this amnesty plan, this is supported by, of course, Democrats for political reasons that even Rush Limbaugh was talking about for many years. But it's also supported by the corporations of America. And even Breitbart points this out. The corporations want cheap labor. They want to lower the cost of labor and get more workers in order to make more profits. And also, of course, there is a very real issue that Americans don't want to work. That's, I mean, especially the lower wage labor jobs. Yeah, Americans absolutely just do not feel like they should have to do that. And so corporations are giving money to the Republicans to support amnesty. That's where Mitch McConnell is coming from, no doubt. I mean, I don't have any inside information, but it's clear to me that Mitch McConnell's getting, you know, campaign finance money from corporations, and he's being told to push amnesty. And by the way, Republicans like Mitch McConnell are happy to play the losers forever. They don't want to be winners. They don't want America to win. They don't want Trump to win. They just want to be the gatekeepers of the losing minority party. That's Mitch McConnell in a nutshell right there. He wants to have the spoiler vote in the Senate so that the Democrats can't get, you know, the 60 votes that they typically need. But I've got news for Mitch McConnell. If you don't stop this illegal immigration, you know, there are going to be millions, or tens of millions of new left-wing voters in America, and the Democrats are going to get more than 60 seats in the Senate. And then what are you going to do, Mitch McConnell? Your Republican loser minority group will be pointless, totally ignored. You won't be able to stop anything because the Democrats always vote as a block. Democrats are obedient followers. They're party loyalists above anything else, including ethics or the rule of law or morality or common sense. They are loyal to their party. They will always vote against America, and they will vote together in a block to commit treason against America. So, you know, Mitch McConnell, people like him, they just want to cash in right now while they have a little bit of power, but they're willing to sell out America in the long run. That's exactly what they're doing. And the economic costs to America of this illegal immigration are enormous. And it's not just America. Here's a story out of Remix News, which covers European news. It's rmx.news. Mass immigration to Germany will cost taxpayers up to 19.2 trillion euros, warns top academic expert. Germany's social system is facing a debt explosion that will continue to soar, with a top professor showing how it would simply be cheaper to close the border. Yeah, the same thing is true in America. Close the border, and you'll save trillions of dollars over time, which is, of course, what Trump would do if reelected. And right now, it looks like Trump's winning. By the way, stay tuned for my interview with Roger Stone here, because he gives us some insight on what Trump will do in a third term. He talks about the plans that are underway right now to determine what Trump will do on day one. I think Trump will be bold on day one. And I think that should be a new holiday, like another 4th of July or something. Call it Trump Day. You know, the day that Trump signs 5,000 executive orders shutting down all the bad 5,000 executive orders that Joe Biden signed. You know, reopening energy exploration for America. You know, restarting the economy. Building the border wall, firing half the traitors in the DOJ and the FBI and the NIH and the FDA. And I mean, Trump should clean house. But of course, first, we have to get him elected. Now, as another act of sheer desperation in all of this, the governments of Western nations are now working to criminalize all independent speech by 2025. And in Europe, they have the, what was it, Online Safety Act. I think that's out of the UK. The Online Safety Act makes it a crime for you or even like a small media outlet to publish anything that the government says is misinformation. But there's legal immunity for the mainstream media to publish lies. It's actually in the act. And they will throw you in jail if you publish anything that they disagree with. And there's a story from Information Liberation that talks about Israel doing the same thing. Israeli lawmakers move to punish denying or downplaying October 7th with 5 years in prison. So if you say that October 7th involved, let's say, IDF soldiers killing some of their own Israeli citizens, which is exactly what happened. If you say that, you'll go to jail for 5 years in Israel. Yeah. Or if you say that October 7th was partially a false flag, that the IDF was ordered to stand down so that Netanyahu could have a justification for bombing the bejesus out of Gaza. That's a technical military term. When you bomb the bejesus out of somebody and, you know, slaughtering now, 27,000 civilians, Palestinian civilians in Gaza, bombing hospitals and residential centers and refugee camps, telling people to evacuate and then bombing the evacuation centers that they went to. I mean, that's what Israel did. But if you mention any of that, you're going to go to jail for 5 years. That's how desperate Israel has become. That's also how evil Israel has become under Netanyahu. And no wonder he was so unpopular among his own citizens, because Netanyahu is a pure evil war criminal. But there are many citizens of Israel who despise him and who do not approve of what's happening, just to be clear. And there are a lot of Jews all over the world that do not approve of what Netanyahu is doing, by the way. So when I criticize, quote, Israel, I'm talking about its leadership right now, which is Netanyahu and Gevir and Gallant and others who are all war criminals who should be prosecuted for crimes against humanity, as far as I'm concerned. But that doesn't apply to all Jews all over the world, just to be clear. Nevertheless, this is just another example of how governments around the world are going crazy trying to criminalize free speech. And then this story from Reclaim the Net: government-funded entities build network to flag misinformation in private messages. Yeah, more reports are emerging about the collusion between big tech and big government. It's not just directly pressuring or communicating with social sites. Reports are now emerging about companies that are getting hired to make massive databases of supposedly unlawful speech that are compiled thanks to users spying and reporting on each other on messaging platforms like WhatsApp. Yeah, it's incredible. This is a snitch network of citizen informants. And then this information is analyzed using artificial intelligence, resulting in identification of, quote, misinformation trends. And this is all government funded, and this is all leading up to mass criminalization of anybody who speaks out against the regime. So if Biden and the Democrats rig the election again coming up here in 2024, then if you point out they rigged it, oh, you're going to jail. They're just going to throw you all in jail, along with anybody who says October 7th was a stand down operation by the IDF or there was any conspiracy involved. And then, incredibly, there's another story out of Reclaim the Net. A Democrat suggests the Biden admin big tech censorship collusion does not exist. Yeah, this is during the hearing on the weaponization of the federal government. Representative Jerry Connolly of Virginia claimed that any evidence of federal government censorship pressure was projection, and that the government weaponization that Republicans were focused on, quote, doesn't exist. Similar message from Representative Dan Goldman out of New York, basically claiming it doesn't exist. They say there's no collusion between the White House and big tech. Are you kidding me? We've got the documents of straight up collusion. Now, I've got a special report that I recorded earlier called Governments to Criminalize All Independent Speech by 2025, Jail Time for Questioning Anything. Real quick, first, I want to alert you to two amazing new products we have at healthrangerstore.com that you've never heard about before. They're brand new. We formulated them. They're super delicious. The first one is an organic adaptogen ginger latte immune support drink mix. So this is a powder, and I'll read you the ingredients here. It's, of course, certified organic, of course, laboratory tested, no fillers, no artificial anything, no junk. It's amazing. It's a powder that you mix in with hot water, and it makes this delicious ginger latte. And the ingredients are organic coconut milk powder, organic coconut sugar, which is a low glycemic sweetener, organic ginger powder, and then it's a bunch of medicinal mushrooms like reishi and cordyceps and turkey tail and chaga and lion's mane and so on. This is all part of this amazing drink available now, healthrangerstore.com. And then we have something else with protein in it called organic banana peanut butter and chocolate instant superfood shake. And that's available right now too. The ingredients are also super clean. You will never find a product like this which with such simple, clean ingredients. Here they are. Organic whey protein powder, organic banana powder, organic peanut butter powder, organic cocoa powder, and organic coconut sugar. And that's it. You notice there's no artificial flavors, not even natural flavors. There's no fillers. There's no like weird sweeteners and artificial sweeteners or erythritol or nothing. It's just like whey protein, banana powder, peanut butter powder, cocoa powder, coconut sugar. That's it. Boom. Totally natural, lab tested, certified organic, available now, healthrangerstore.com. I love this stuff. I mean, you can make a smoothie from this. It's super simple. Just take a couple of big scoops into a, you know, like a small smoothie blender. You need to use a lot of powder actually for this. And then blend it up. Or if you want to add like half a banana or, I don't know, add your own peanut butter, whatever you want. Throw in a chocolate bar, blend it up. I guess you could make all this on your own, but this is a really convenient format that's got all the right ratios and all the lab testing and everything. Anyway, consider these two products. And we've also got at healthrangerstore.com, by the way, purple, organic purple barley flakes. So it's barley flakes that, you know, you can make a delicious cereal out of it. You can use it hot or cold, but they're purple, which means they have anthocyanins in them. And anthocyanins are these amazing nutrients that do amazing things that I can't talk about because I can't make health claims about it. But trust me, the purple pigments in purple barley flakes are the most nutritious part of the barley. And of course, you're not getting that in non-purple barley. So this is purple barley flakes, purple people eater. How did that go? Remember that song way back? It was a one arm, one eyed flying purple people eater, I think is how that went. Does that ring a bell to anybody? Or am I dating myself with that one? That was a thing. It was a flying purple people eater. Anyway, we just have purple barley and not purple people eaters at the Health Ranger store. All right, so we're going to go to this special report about governments criminalizing free speech, and then we'll have the interview with Roger Stone on the other side of that. Stay with us. In the UK, the new Online Safety Act gives the mainstream media absolute legal immunity to lie and to push misinformation and disinformation while criminalizing any alternative media or independent media that is accused of misinformation or disinformation. So they know that the corporate media lies constantly, and that if they applied this new law to everybody, that, you know, eventually they would have to prosecute the corporate media as their lies are, you know, discovered and emerge, like COVID vaccines don't work and the masks don't work and lockdowns don't work. And no, Ukraine isn't winning the war against Russia and so on. All their lies have to have legal protection, just like all the toxic effects of vaccines have to have legal protection. So just like the vaccines are poisoning your body, the corporate media is poisoning your mind. And so this Online Safety Act is specifically written to target and censor or silence alternative media, independent media, real journalism that the corporate media has abandoned. And this is how desperate they are. to protect their precious narratives. Their lies are so insane that they have to criminalize people who question their lies. I mean, that's where we are. Now, in a similar fashion, Israel is proposing a new law that would throw you in prison for 5 years if you, quote, downplay what happened on October 7th. Yeah, exactly. How insane is that? Anybody out there still protecting Israel for whatever reason, and Zionism, I mean, you're protecting an evil, demonic, satanic, globalism death cult. And they show it every single day. This is just the latest example, where if you say that on October 7th that IDF forces shot and killed some of the Israeli victims, well, then you're going to go to prison for 5 years, even though that's exactly what happened. And it's been admitted by key people in the IDF, a helicopter pilot in particular, and other people. We know that Israel killed hundreds of its own citizens, and on purpose, by the way. But you won't be able to say that, or you'll be arrested and thrown in prison for up to 5 years. Now, by the way, this kind of thing isn't new for Israel. Even with the ADL in the United States, they would absolutely try to criminalize anybody who questions the official narrative surrounding Israel if they could get away with it in the U.S. But of course, we have the First Amendment, which makes it a lot more difficult. But in Germany, did you know that it is a crime to question the Holocaust? Did you know that? They will throw you in prison if you question the Holocaust. And just to be clear, I'm not questioning the Holocaust. I mean, there are people out there who are, quote, Holocaust deniers who say maybe elements of it did not happen. And no matter what you think about the Holocaust, again, I'm sure it did happen. But people should be free to express their views about questioning any event in history, whether it's the Holocaust or 9/11 or Oklahoma City bombing or whatever. And I mean, think about it. Officially, they say, well, 6 million Jews were exterminated in the Holocaust. What if you say, well, it's only 5.9 million? What if you have historical records and you've gone through it and you added it up and you have a new estimate, it's only 5.9 million? Well, they would throw you in prison for that. They would say, well, that's a crime. You're disagreeing with the Holocaust narrative. You're a Holocaust denier. Even though you're actually only denying the figure of 6 million, maybe you think it's 5.9, or maybe 5.99. Maybe you disagree by 1,000 victims. You go to jail. You go to jail. And by the way, I think recent polls are showing that a lot of America's youth now, they do question the Holocaust. Isn't that wild? I mean, that's part of the backlash against the modern lies of the Zionist state, that now people are starting to question all of history surrounding the Holocaust, the extermination of Jews in Europe, the rise of Zionism, and all of it. I mean, this is how Zionism is its own worst enemy. It's actually raising new questions that weren't even there before. Now, again, just to be clear, I'm not a Holocaust denier, so to speak, even though I think that term is dishonest. But every person should have the right to question official narratives. And as we've learned today, we must especially question narratives that Israel is pushing, because Israel forces everybody to toe the line of their lies, even though we know they are absolute lies. Like when Israel says, oh, we're doing everything we can to try to minimize civilian casualties in Gaza, but they're also bombing residential buildings and hospitals and refugee camps. I mean, come on. Of course they're lying. Israel always lies. Now, on top of this, the CEO of Microsoft says that they're going to use AI systems now to try to combat misinformation and disinformation, especially in the run-up to the election. And there's been a lot of speculation that that means Microsoft might disable Windows workstations, you know, your computers or your laptops, if the operating system determines that you are, quote, spreading disinformation. Now, how would Windows even know that? Well, obviously, Windows would have to be spying on you. And Windows does spy on you. It monitors everything that you type, everything you post, every website you visit, every email you open. It's all being reported back to Microsoft, folks. Especially if you opt in all that tracking garbage that you turn on during the initial install. By the way, the only way that I install Windows is to disconnect from the internet. And then in the installation process, you have to click that I have no internet. And then it says, oh, well, then we're going to do a limited installation. You'll only be able to use limited features on Windows, which is not really limited, except that it's not spying on you. And in some versions of Windows, you can't even proceed with that. And you have to do this secret key combination. I think it's like Control F11, and it brings up a command prompt, and you have to type like slash nobi obi or something. I have it written down. And then that allows you to proceed without being connected to the internet. So they know that most users are not going to be able to do that. And most users are going to connect to the internet. They're going to log into Microsoft, which has their ID, your name, your credit card, everything. And then from that point forward, everything that you do on Windows is tracked and it's tied to your name. So if you think you have privacy from using Windows, give me a break. You think just because you turn on like a VPN or something that it's private? No, VPN doesn't protect you from the operating system spying on you. Just like Google spies on you on your Android phone or Apple spies on you on your iPhone, Microsoft spies on you when you're running Windows. And yes, they're probably going to start disabling people's Windows systems if they determine that you are spreading, quote, misinformation, which could be anything, anything. And it will change. It will change every day. There will be new lies that the establishment needs to push. And so they'll have to have, you know, new narratives. And if you contradict any of those narratives, then your operating system won't work. All of this, the censorship in the UK, the censorship by Israel and the ADF, the censorship by Microsoft and big tech. And we found out recently that the White House ordered Amazon to take down books that questioned official COVID narratives, by the way. So Amazon will remove books when told to do so by the White House. All of this speaks to how fragile the network of lies actually is that's being pushed by the establishment. Their network of lies is so fragile that they can't stand people to even question them, because the mere questioning of their lies would expose them for the frauds that they are. And so this is a sign of a totalitarian society that's reached its last desperate chapter, and it has to enforce every last lie, and it can't allow people to question anything or to speak freely or to even use logic or reason. Remember that one of the official lies that you have to repeat is the idea that men can get pregnant or that a child can change their gender through mutilation surgeries. If you disagree with that, you are accused of spreading misinformation or disinformation. I mean, isn't it incredible? The establishment will accuse people of being Holocaust deniers if they think it's only 5.9 million people that were exterminated by the Third Reich. But then that same establishment will say that men can get pregnant. And that's truth. And you can't question that. I mean, how insane, how absurd has it become? You know, out of control, off the charts, psychopathic insanity is what's being pushed now. And you will be required to bow down to it, to lick the boots of the tyrants as their boots are stomping on your neck and trying to crush you forever. You have to lick those boots. And there are a whole lot of bootlickers out there who love licking boots of tyrants. And they're called Democrats and neocons, by the way. Bunch of bootlicking lunatics. Freaks and perverts, pedophiles and groomers. And I mean, this is a sign of the end times. We are here. I wouldn't be surprised if soon they outlaw anybody who states that 2 + 2 = 4. So that's not allowed. You can't use math. Math is racist. Remember that? You can't use logic. You can't use reasoning. Disallowed. Why do you think they want to take down the United States of America? Because they need to end the First Amendment and the Second Amendment. Let's talk about the Second Amendment here for a second. It turns out the United States of America has more guns per capita than any other country in the world. And did you know that the second place country is Yemen? And that America has more than twice the number of guns per capita as does Yemen. And America has, I mean, conservatively, way more than one gun per person. okay? There's at least 350 million guns in America, and more reliable estimates put it at about 500 million. And sometimes I think that's just Texas, but who knows? There are probably 500 million guns in America. This drives the globalists absolutely bonkers. I mean, their plan to invade America relies on the idea that they can flood enough military-age migrants into the system and then activate them all on one day to go start killing everybody and start destroying and sabotaging infrastructure. And then they think that that's going to allow them to achieve kind of this domestic uprising, revolt, civil war scenario. And you know what thwarts that plan? Guns in the hands of American citizens, the Second Amendment, the gun culture. You know, AR-15s and other guns, long-range rifles, sniper rifles, hunting rifles, you know, military veterans, law enforcement veterans. This thwarts their plan. And the globalists hate it. And that's why they need to destroy America, because they have to take down the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It's the one thing truly stopping their global domination. And so you've got globalist-oriented senators, such as Senator Mark Warner, saying that, well, misinformation shouldn't enjoy First Amendment protections. Yeah, he actually said that. So whatever that they declare to be misinformation, they say, well, you don't have freedom of speech for that. And you ask them, well, what's your set of disinformation that you're talking about? And, you know, sooner or later, they'll say, well, it's this never-ending, never-expanding set of, quote, facts. And if you contradict any of these, even including, by the way, the Holocaust or COVID or what happened on October 7th or what happened on September 11th or any of these things, they will say, well, that doesn't enjoy free speech protections. Even though the Constitution does not make exceptions for the First Amendment, it says that all speech is free. Now, of course, the courts have ruled that there are certain kinds of speech, like yelling fire in a crowded theater, for example, that are not protected because they are violent or maliciously violent forms of speech. Like if you actually publicly call for murdering somebody, for example, that's not constitutionally protected speech. But voicing opinions about things, especially opinions about history or opinions about culture, those have always been constitutionally protected. And that is the original intent of the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment, to protect all forms of speech, including, most importantly, dissent against the government itself. That's one of the reasons why the First Amendment was written. And of course, it also includes public protests and freedom of religious expression, and also freedom of the press. Because of course, in the UK and under the king, even back in the 1700s, they would control the press and you weren't allowed to publish anything that the king didn't like. Otherwise, off with your head. I mean, you wonder why the UK and the EU are such bureaucratic authoritarian tyrants. Well, that's their heritage. That's their history. That's all they've known for thousands of years, is tyranny and bowing down to the king and the queen and the princes and do what they say and just all kinds of bullcrap. And that's why we got away from that and created the Revolutionary War and then the Constitution and then, a few years later, the Bill of Rights. So I say it's time to reassert the Bill of Rights, to exercise free speech, and that's why I launched Brighteon.com, and that's why I publish naturalnews.com, because it's about free speech, especially about unpopular opinions or opinions of dissent. That is what deserves the most protection of all. So if you want to find freedom in an unfree world, keep supporting the independent media and support us at Brighteon.com. Check out Brighteon.social. It's our social media site that's a thriving ecosystem of amazing information. Check out Brighteon.tv, which has 40-plus hosts with their own shows and their own guests broadcasting daily. Check out naturalnews.com. Check out brighteonradio.com. And also Brighteon University, which is brightu.com, that has free documentary series programs that you can watch. They begin each Saturday or every other Saturday, and you can register for free and watch them for free. So thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com and naturalnews.com. Take care. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, and our guest today is Roger Stone, who probably needs no introduction. I think one of the most amazing leaders of the political freedom movement here for America First. And Roger Stone, sir, I really honor your work. Welcome to the show today.
Great to be with you, Mike. I really appreciate the opportunity.
It's great to have you on, you know, and this is one of the few places where you get to defend yourself against all the horrendous accusations and fakery that's been leveled against you. And one of the most recent things was that somebody came up with what appears to be an AI-generated audio that mimics your voice and was put out there claiming that you were calling to murder somebody. Well, I was able to generate my AI voice saying the same thing that you said, even though I never said that either. So we were able to prove that's AI. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is the AI is now going to be the next tool of the radical left. It's going to be used in politics all the time to defame people. In this particular case, a not very credible left-wing website, Mediaite, which is owned by one of the former talking heads at MSNBC, Dan Abrams, published what they said was a four-year-old snippet of an audio in which it is alleged that I plotted to murder two Democratic congressmen. First of all, it was given to them anonymously, so we are supposed to believe who, where was taken, who I was talking to. There's no verification of any of that. And then I immediately sent the audio itself out for forensic analysis using the best two up-to-date software programs. And one of them showed me there was a 96% chance of likelihood that it was fraudulently generated. The other one was 92.8. I never said the words attributed to me. The ambient restaurant background noise, which
that
makes
the
AI
in.
Harder to detect,
yeah.
That was dropped in after the fact. It's a fraud. But what's outrageous, Mike, is the way MSNBC, CNN, The Washington Post, Bill Maher, Rolling Stone, all the usual suspects, the jackals of the fake news media, jump on it immediately, report it as if it's factual, never even include my denial, never mind the fact that I produced the evidence that it was a fraud. And of course, the Democrats are demanding yet another investigation, the Capitol Hill Police, the FBI. Let me be clear. There's nothing to investigate. I never said those words. The woman who wrote this story, a woman, Diane Falzone, in Italian, Falzone means fake, false. That's what it means.
Is that a pseudonym for her, you think, then?
No,
what are you saying?
That's definitely her real name. You can see her on Instagram. She's an unmarried mother of two. Seems to spend a lot of time on the nightclub circuit, but it's kind of ironic that that's her real name, and it really does mean false, because I'm, as you know, half Sicilian myself.
All right, so let me educate the audience in case they're not aware of this, but any person who has done any amount of interviews, and you've done thousands of hours over many years of your career, or like I have as well, or Alex Jones, for example, it's easy to find voice samples of those people, even Donald Trump, right? And it's easy to take those voice samples to cloud-based AI services such as 11 Labs, for example, and you simply upload the voice samples, and then you can type in any text you want, and it will have that voice say those words, and it'll do variations. So you could try like 50 variations and get the one that you like the best and use that one. And they sound almost perfect, right?
Yeah.
So at this point, anybody can sort of make you say anything they want and then hand it over to Mediaite or MSNBC or whatever and claim this is Roger Stone.
Precisely. In fact, right now, ironically, somebody made a recording of Joe Biden that was used in a robocall to New Hampshire households telling people not to vote in the Democratic primary. Also, I noticed that the estate, the family of George Carlin, the late comedian, is suing two guys because they put up an audio of an hour-long stand-up comedy routine by George Carlin that is not George Carlin. So this is going to be the next wave. Get used to this. There's going to be more and more of it. But this is what New York we would call a fugazi. It's a fraud. And once again, Mike, Roger Stone, well, I did nothing wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I want to give out your website, by the way. StoneZone.com is where people can find all your videos, your shows, Rumble Channel, what all do you have on your website? Give us a quick
There's
overview.
There's a lot going on there. First of all, I do a daily show at Rumble called The Stone Zone, which I post there. You can also go to rumble.com/Roger Stone. I do a weekly radio show, WABC, in New York from 4 to 6 on Sundays. It's literally the most powerful AM radio station in the United States. You can listen to that at WABCradio.com. It's also streaming worldwide. I write also print journalism there. Today I posted my mother's meatball recipe, old family recipe, because I had mentioned it on the radio, had so many requests for it.
That's great.
And you can also go to the store. I have Stone's Rules, my Rules for Life. This is kind of like Sun Tzu's The Art of War or Machiavelli's The Prince. This is everything I've learned in a 45-year career in the public arena. Has a great introduction by my friend Tucker Carlson, my book on the Kennedy assassination, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. All my products there available at the Stone Zone store. So folks should check it out.
All right. StoneZone.com. That's a website, folks. So Roger, let's go back to the AI generated voice snippet, because it seems like if any media outlet were acting responsibly at this point, knowing that the state of the art of AI voice generation is very advanced, that they would have to now suspect any audio snippet of being AI generated, and they would have to be able to confirm the actual source, the location, time, and date of the recording, and they would have to have a recording forensically analyzed to confirm that it is not AI. And yet, from what you're telling me, none of the media outlets went through any of those steps whatsoever, correct?
Correct. So they do no due diligence at all. Actually, to analyze such an audio, if it were real, you would need the original device on which it was recorded, and you would need the original audio itself. This has been compressed. Both of the technicians who examined this for me told me it has been substantially compressed. As you correctly point out, if I have a 10-second snippet of your voice and I spend any time kind of studying the cadences of the way you speak, it's very, very simple, and it's inexpensive to create an audio that people would listen to, and they would absolutely swear that was Mike Adams when
yes.
It wasn't Mike Adams at all. So, look, I've been through a lot of witch hunts. This is the latest witch hunt. And, of course, the two congressmen that I am falsely accused of plotting the murder of, Jerry Nadler and Eric Swalwell. Eric Swalwell, the Chinese communist compromised congressman from California, they, of course, pound the desk and whine about this when there's really nothing to whine about. I'm not a fan of either one of them, but this doesn't even make sense. This, by the way, allegedly happened in October of 2020, but why would we believe that? They provide no documentation of that either. And it is alleged that I was talking to a friend of mine, former New York City police officer Salvatore Greco. He has no memory of this. He has a pending lawsuit, civil lawsuit, against the city of New York because they terminated him after 14 years of distinguished service, unblemished service as a New York City police officer, often assigned to some of the most dangerous precincts in the city for the graveyard shift. They just arbitrarily fired him simply because he's a friend of mine. So
right.
there's a regulation for New York City police officers that says an officer cannot fraternize with anybody who in the past may have or may reasonably be suspected of in the future being involved in criminal activity. Well, that would be Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City. He was a New York City police officer. He was a captain. He admits having spent time with the convicted felon Al Sharpton, with the convicted felon Mike Tyson, with the convicted felon Louis Farrakhan. He was charged, Mike, under the exact same rule as my friend Greco, and they docked his vacation time 5 days. That was his punishment.
Right. It's all selectively enforced.
Lost his livelihood. Doesn't have a good conduct letter, so he can't get a job as a police officer in any other jurisdiction. He's suing the city of New York. That lawsuit has survived two motions to dismiss by the city. It's going forward to trial now. the investigation against him is a total fraud. It is interesting in one sense, though, because he was with me on January 5th and 6th, although we never left our hotel suite, we did have contact with one particular member of the Oath Keepers, and that guy testified in his administrative trial that, no, Roger Stone had no knowledge of what the Oath Keepers were up to on the 6th, wasn't involved, and knew nothing about it. So that's on the record and under oath. Kind of convenient, actually.
Yeah, well, it's clear to all of America now that J6 was a deep state trap. But in fact, I want to ask you now, America misses Donald J. Trump as president now more than ever. It's becoming more and more apparent with each passing day. Joe Biden, you know, an Alzheimer's patient apparently, or a walking cognitive zombie, can't function and has no morality, no rule of law. I mean, just one of the worst presidents in the history of this republic. People miss Donald J. Trump. And now, look, I've criticized Trump on a few issues. We're never going to have the super perfect candidate. But I've also recently said it's clear that Trump is our only legitimate option now to save this country from total destruction. What are your thoughts on?
I totally agree with that. Look, first, of course, he's not perfect. No one is perfect. Only he is perfect. But without any question, you had unprecedented peace and prosperity.
That's right.
When he was president, he didn't start any new wars. He did bring our troops home in large numbers from the Middle East without having the countries they were serving in collapse around behind them. Unlike Joe Biden, we had unprecedented economic growth. We had unprecedented job creation, unprecedented wage growth, unprecedented amount of money coming back in the country to be invested here and to create jobs here. We had scores of conservatives appointed to the federal bench. We had the rebuilding of our military strength, which had been allowed to atrophy. But most importantly, I think in the foreign policy realm, Trump took advantage of his noted unpredictability. Vladimir Putin would never have invaded Ukraine because he didn't know what Trump would do. Trump told him he would hit him, and he hit him hard. "I'll hit Moscow," he said. Well, Putin didn't know whether to believe him or not, and therefore he wasn't going to take a chance. Same was also true of Premier Xi. He told Xi directly, "You move in Taiwan, I move on you." She said, "You will not do that." Trump said, "Don't try me, pal." Trump's a tough New Yorker, and you come from the world of Manhattan real estate. That's as cutthroat as it gets.
True.
I mean, look, I've said this before. I worked for Richard Nixon. He was a very tough guy. He clawed his way back from political obscurity to the greatest political comeback in American history. I worked for Senator Bob Dole. Bob Dole is an American hero. He was hit by Italian machine gun fire in World War II. Hit by a shell as well, was told, "You'll never walk again. You'll never have the use of your limbs again. You'll never feed yourself again." He fought his way back to total functionality, was a great U.S. senator, would have been a great president. Those guys were really tough guys. Neither one of them is nearly as tough as Donald Trump. You don't want to be on the other side of him in a negotiation. That's the guy I want guarding my tax dollars. That's the guy I want running my foreign policy.
Absolutely. I mean, the current foreign policy under the Biden administration is a total disaster. There's no plan. There's no competence. There's not even any understanding of history or what America's strengths are. So I completely agree with you on that. But given that the popularity of Trump is surging back in the minds of people who might have been sort of on the bench before, you know, they're walking away from the Democrat Party. And also the invasion of America by illegals is really disrupting a lot of these blue cities. You're seeing a lot of people who are Democrats saying we need Trump here. Otherwise, we're going to lose our country. How desperate are the Democrats looking right now in terms of wanting to stop Trump because of his rising popularity?
I think they're increasingly hysterical. I think that they really can't believe that this tsunami of lawfare, these totally patched together, fabricated charges against Trump, first of all, pertaining to his handling of confidential documents, his questioning of the outcome of the election, which, of course, he has an absolute First Amendment right to do. This idea that he knew he lost, but he tried to cling to power. Well, try proving that he knew he lost. That's the legal term there is mens rea. You have to prove Trump's state of mind. Only Trump knows what Trump's state of mind is. Now, those who would prosecute him say, well, but the FBI director told him he lost. Yes, so what? It doesn't matter what the FBI director told him,
right,
or the director of Homeland Security or the attorney general. It only matters what he believed. Those guys have proven themselves to be bad actors anyway. So just because they said something was true doesn't mean Trump believed it was true. So they have, I think, inadvertently, Mike, they have turbocharged his campaign. He is stronger today than he's ever been at any point since he entered politics. And it has also allowed him to raise the money necessary to run because his donors are small and medium-sized donors who give repeatedly. They're not, he'll never be the toast of Wall Street. He'll never be the toast of the millionaires or the billionaires. That's not his America. His America is a small businessman and woman who recognizes the existential threat to the country. Just watching the Democrats desperately trying to jujitsu this border issue, let's be very clear. Open borders is the policy of Joe Biden. He and his administration are responsible for the migrant invasion that we are experiencing. And passage of this bipartisan Schumer-Lankford border security bill would change absolutely nothing. It allows 1.8 million, million illegals to continue to enter the country per year, and it provides the funding to process them. It changes nothing. So this idea that Trump is opposing the bill because he wants the situation in the border to continue so he can run on it, passing this bill would not solve anything whatsoever. And Joe Biden goes from 2 weeks ago saying, or his Secretary of Homeland Security and his press spokeswoman saying, oh, the border is secure, the border is secure. Now suddenly he says, well, the border is not secure, but the Republicans won't give me the tools to close it. Let's be very clear. The law today just simply needs to be enforced. We don't need a new law. We actually don't even need any new funding. Just give the Border Patrol the correct orders, not to stand down, but to enforce the law. And Donald Trump proved that our border can be secure. Illegal crossings under Donald Trump had trickled down to almost nothing.
Yeah, and by the way, that Senate deal that has, I think it's been abandoned at this point, even in the Senate. They're backing away from it. Mitch McConnell's backing away from it. And in the House, Representative Scalise and even Speaker Johnson, I said, they said was going to be dead on arrival in the House. But you make a really critical point there, which is that Biden wants unlimited illegal immigration. And that deal would have provided border funding for Ukraine and border protection funding for Israel, but no real solution to the border problem in the USA. And it's infuriating to the American people under Biden right now that taxpayer dollars will protect the borders of every other country in the world, but not our own.
Yeah, so if you look at the bill, what it really is it's a Ukrainian war funding bill,
right?
$60 billion to continue to fund the losing war in Ukraine, where Ukraine is getting the crap kicked out of them. That's not what the U.S. media reports, but that's the reality from every military expert that I know and respect who looks at the situation, General Flynn and others. And then secondarily, a huge amount of money for Israel. Now, we already give them, I think, $1.6 billion a year. It's very hard for me to realize or even imagine what more they could possibly need. But what's even more disturbing, Mike, is the double game that Joe Biden is playing in the Middle East. I mean, we're funding Iran to the tune of $100 billion a year, and they in turn are funding Hamas and Hezbollah. And the Biden State Department has basically been infiltrated. This fellow Robert Malley and those who work for him, this is the biggest spy scandal since Alger Hiss. They recently suspended his security clearance, but they don't tell us why. As I said on my ABC radio show this past weekend, I have sources now, double sourced, one in Israel, one in the United States with contacts in Iran, who told me that Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor, gave the Iranians the heads up regarding these recent bombing raids in Syria and Iraq, passing the message through the Qataris so that Iran would move its top military personnel and other leaders out of harm's way.
Well, I knew that happened, but I didn't know that was Sullivan. That's a huge deal.
There's no question about it. My sources, who are very good, one of them is in the U.S. Senate, the other one is in Israel, tell me that Jake Sullivan, the current national security advisor, who, based on his involvement in the Russian collusion hoax, ought to be in jail, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, of course, they pay no penalty for breaking the law at all. Let the Iranians know that these bombing raids were coming. So the raids are designed to make Joe Biden look tough in the United States in preparation for a reelection campaign. Meanwhile, our traditional ally, Israel, is told what they can do, when they can do, and so on. We're on both sides of the war. We're funding both sides of the war.
Yeah.
We're trying to control the strategy. We're giving the Iranians a free hand. Why would anyone believe that the $100 million you're giving to Hamas is only going to be used for humanitarian purposes? Because Hamas said so? Why would we believe them? Why would you believe that none of the $100 billion in assets that we're just unfreezing for the Iranians are not going to make their way to Hamas and Hezbollah? Of course they are. That portion which is not being used to fund the development of their nuclear devices. Trump said this past weekend that he believes, based on his knowledge and his own sources, that Iran is 60 days away from having a nuclear bomb.
That's
going to change everything.
Let's talk about that for a second, because we all remember that under Obama, Obama flew cargo planes full of pallets of laundered cash to give it to Iran. And Obama's nuclear deal with Iran, which the corporate media dishonestly described as halting Iran's nuclear development program, actually encouraged their program and at the same time provided more funding for their program. So as you know, Roger, I mean, this spans many, many years of the United States of America, again, under Obama, but even now continuing, according to what you're saying, under Sullivan, enabling Iran while funding Israel, funding both sides of this conflict, probably heading towards nuclear war in the Middle East.
That's exactly right. I mean, first of all, in all honesty, the Iranians promised that they weren't using this money for the development of a bomb. But once again, why would we believe them? Trump ran openly saying, look, I'm going to nix this deal as soon as I get in. And he did. And the truth is, he really had his foot on Iran's throat. I mean, because of the embargoes against them, they couldn't sell their oil. And therefore, they didn't have the cash either to continue their nuclear developments weapons system program or the money to fund these terrorists. Now, thanks to Uncle Joe Biden, they have the money for both. And we're basically funding that program. Now, more importantly, during the Trump presidency, John Kerry is actively conducting his own foreign policy, promising the Iranians that he's going to get their nuclear weapons deal re-upped. He's in violation of the Logan Act. You can't out and run your personal, private foreign policy, no matter how wealthy you are. Why hasn't this guy been prosecuted? It's really outrageous, but that's exactly what's happened. And the Iranians and the radical, those in radical Islam, this is very different than, say, Nazi Germany or Imperial Japan or even Communist Russia. Those people wanted to live. These people don't care whether they live or die. They just want to destroy America. And if they have to destroy themselves in the process of doing so, they don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, and I'm also struck by the way that the U.S. leaders use U.S. soldiers as drone bait. So that they put U.S. soldiers out there in Jordan and in Syria, knowing they're going to be struck, so that people like Senator Lindsey Graham can demand bombing Iran. I mean, the exploitation of American lives so that they can push their narratives is very disturbing to me as well. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you're absolutely right. It's my understanding that we have approximately 3,000 troops along the northern border, along with the Kurds. Why do we have any troops in the region? Why do we have troops there? It makes no sense at all. The bombing raids that we just conducted in Syria and Iraq, we flew two B-1 bombers from Texas. They had to stop and refuel on the way. Are there no American bombers anywhere in our bases in the Middle East? We have bases there. Are there no American bombers anywhere in the European theater that could have gotten there more efficiently? So you're exactly right. This is all being staged to let Joe Biden look tough. These bombing raids, I think, were largely ineffective because we tipped them off in advance. We did no damage to those that were trying to hit. This is all kabuki theater for the benefit of American voters. I don't think there's any support for World War III. We're on the cusp of World War III, both here and in the Ukrainian-Russia conflict. And Joe Biden seems to be recklessly driving towards it. He reminds me of Slim Pickens riding the bomb at the end of Dr. Strangelove and laughing as the world hangs in the balance.
You know, this reminds me of the Clinton years, too. Every time there would be breaking news about Monica Lewinsky, Clinton would order the bombing of some factories in Sudan or somewhere like that, you know, to try to just take the headlines away from the other news. But that was in a day when the media would actually carry some news that was critical of a Democrat. Those days are long gone. In fact, I want to ask you, Roger, you've seen all the shenanigans that the Democrats will come up with. I mean, the Democrat establishment is the most horrendously dishonest, evil, insidious, lawless group of people that you could possibly imagine on this planet. They've done things to you that are unimaginable. What do you think they're willing to do to stop Trump or to stop this upcoming election?
Well, first of all, I think it's very important to kind of recognize their messaging because consistent with Alinsky's rules, anything they accuse us of doing is exactly what they're doing. So Trump is a danger to democracy. That's what they say. They're the ones trying to lock up the leading candidate for president of the opposition party based on trumped up charges. They're the ones trying to keep his name off of the ballot. What could be more anti-democratic than that?
Right.
They're the ones who have the intelligence agencies and the Department of Homeland Security working with social media outlets to cancel and censor anybody who adheres or espouses a narrative that's contrary to theirs. What could be more anti-democratic than that? They are the ones using the 702 database to illegally collect information on Americans and to conduct illegal warrantless surveillances on 178,000 Americans. What could be more anti-democratic than that? There's been, as far as I know, the Congress has not approved a declaration of war. When Richard Nixon was impeached, one of the counts against him was the bombing in Cambodia without congressional approval. Has Congress approved these bombings by Joe Biden in Iraq and Syria? No, they haven't. That's actually an impeachable offense. If we're going to war, then the Congress needs to declare war.
So these are things that are happening now. But my question is, what else do you think they're going to add to the stack of malfeasance that they're carrying out to try to stop Trump?
Look, I think the possibilities are endless. We could, for example, have yet another pandemic, which is used as an excuse to change the procedures for voting. We could have some false flag staged incident that's made to look like a terrorist attack on American soil that can then be used to justify, as they did in 9/11, the launching of yet another war. We could have war with Russia. That one seems pretty obvious to me. And then, you know, we resort to the War Powers Act and try to use it as an excuse to change or delay the elections. God forbid we could have an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. I don't like to talk about that because I don't want it to wish it into being. In fact, it's something I pray about every single day, is the safety, his safety and security, the safety and security of his family. I wrote a book on this, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. There is no question that the deep state or the military industrial complex or whatever you want to call them, they very definitely are deeply involved in the murder of John F. Kennedy. So yes, if they killed one president, if they removed a second president, Richard Nixon, in a silent coup, because The Watergate break-in is, as we now know from declassified documents, was a CIA operation. If they attempted to kill Ronald Reagan, that's my next book, by the way, because with the report on the attempted assassination of Reagan has never been released. We know that John Hinckley Jr., who was convicted of his attempted assassination, is always in front of him, shooting from a crouching position upwards. But Reagan was hit from behind and above. And the four shots fired by Hinckley are all accounted for. There's another shooter. There's evidence of that. That's a yet another Central Intelligence Agency operation. Then when that failed, they tried to remove Reagan over the Iran-Contra deal, which I don't think he had any idea what the deep state operatives, including George H.W. Bush, were up to there. And then, of course, the same people who tried to remove Trump in the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax. There was no Russian collusion. There was no Russian collusion for me to lie about when I voluntarily testified before Congress. And of course, the two phony Ukrainian impeachments, the second one designed to cover up Joe Biden's crimes by accusing Trump of doing precisely that which Joe Biden himself had done. So these people are capable of absolutely anything. And they get more apoplectic and more hysterical as their grip on power slips. They've also, as you know, Mike, they've, with Elon Musk buying Twitter, converting it to X, and turning over the files, and for the first time uncanceling people like me and Alex Jones and others, they're losing their grip on the narrative. And that really drives them crazy. So they may have a tight control on Facebook today. They do. And on Instagram and on YouTube. And Google could be the leading bad actor out there. They're still losing their grip on the narrative. And this makes them even more hysterical. Because people like you and I, we're not even allowed to offer a different explanation of what's going on. That's whether it's health freedom and it's in the medical area, or whether it's what's going on in our foreign policy or what's going on in Washington. If you don't adhere to their approved narrative, well, you're a dangerous radical who must be silenced.
well, right. And this brings me to a question I really wanted to ask you about: what Trump will do when he returns in his third term, because he did win the last election as well. This would be his third victory, but I guess his second official term. But as you're probably aware, in his first term, I think he made a lot of very bad decisions in trusting people around him, like AG Jeff Sessions, for example, who really betrayed Trump and betrayed America, in my opinion. And then later on, Bill Barr and so on, and even allowing Comey to run the FBI and so on. Do you think that now, knowing what he knows and what he's been put through, that when Trump returns to the White House, will he make qualitatively different decisions about the type of people to bring in to work around him?
No, I absolutely believe that he will. I mean, he gave a great interview this past weekend with Maria Bartiromo. Maybe it was Monday. Look, he acknowledged that he made mistakes. But let's recognize he didn't come from the world of politics. He came from the world of business. He actually honestly thought, not unreasonably, by the way, that the Republicans were with him. The Democrats would be against him. Reagan was an outsider, but the Republicans had rallied around Reagan. Trump thought the Republicans would loyally rally around them. He led them to unprecedented victories. And then he really did not know that at least half of those in the Republican Party were trying to remove him from the moment he was elected. He took a lot of bad advice. Despite that, he already goes down in history as a transformative president. So, look, they tried to talk him out of canceling the Iranian arms deal. They couldn't. They tried to talk him out of canceling our involvement in the Paris Climate Accords. He still insisted on doing it. He achieved many great things despite, being unfamiliar with the system. Now, having been put through the ringer on Russian collusion and on the two phony impeachments, and watching what happened to me, what happened to General Flynn, what happened to Paul Manafort, I think he's completely awake. I think you get a very different man. And I think he has a different standard, both in terms of who he selects to appoint to high office. I frankly think you're going to get finally not retribution. How about just equal protection of the law? If you're going to charge Roger Stone for lying to Congress, which I didn't do, well, then why don't you charge Hillary Clinton because she did lie to Congress? And so did James Comey, the FBI director, and so did the CIA director, John Brennan. One standard, not two standards of law. Now, in my case, I argue that I did nothing wrong. Those people, it's actually provable. They lied, and they lied about things that were material, that were relevant, that were significant. I did not.
Well, right. Again, but this is the selective justice system. I think many of our viewers believe that our judicial system has collapsed. I mean, it's clear with the selective prosecution of Trump and you and others surrounding Trump. And I think that the American people are ready for Trump to be bold in his third term and with, you know, executive orders on day one. But to be bold in even firing the traitors in, let's say, the DOJ, the FBI, the NIH, whatever. I mean, it's Trump's power. He can fire the entire executive branch of government. He could fire 100,000 federal workers on day one if he wanted to. And whereas he wouldn't have had support for that in his first administration, I believe that now the American people are so fed up with the criminality of the federal government, the betrayal, the allowing of the invasion of America. I feel like the American people will support President Trump to be bold in his actions in his new term.
I completely agree with that. And the good news is there is planning going on. This is, he's not going to be starting from ground zero. There's an examination of his immediate options. I think we're at that very rare time in American history. There only been a few times when the future of the Republic really relied on one man. It was certainly true in the case of George Washington. It was true in the case of Abraham Lincoln. And it's now true today in the case of Donald Trump. Is he perfect? No, he's not perfect. But he does have the big picture view. And above all, he has the courage and the gumption and the determination to take these people on. It breaks his heart to see what's happening to America. He built us the most robust economy in our history. And then he was basically euchred into destroying his own greatest accomplishment because of the claims of the doctors in the COVID-19 matter. He's not a doctor. So they obviously didn't tell him the truth. And he was forced to destroy that which he was created. By the way, he brought the economy roaring back before he left, because the fundamentals of less regulation and low taxes were still there.
That's right.
So I think you're going to have peace and prosperity under Donald Trump. I really do think he can solve the Russia-Ukrainian thing relatively quickly. It's great to watch the left going absolutely insane because my friend Tucker Carlson's in Russia, where he interviewed Vladimir Putin. Gee, when Mike Wallace, or maybe it was Chris Wallace, interviewed Vladimir Putin, the left didn't go crazy. When Oliver Stone interviewed Vladimir Putin, that was perfectly all right. But, oh my God, Tucker Carlson's interviewing Putin, maybe we should never even let him back in the country. Actually, Bill Kristol, who's largely responsible for the many deaths in the Iraq War, former chief of staff to Vice President and war criminal Dick Cheney, said yesterday that Tucker Carlson shouldn't be allowed back in the country.
I saw that. That's incredible. I mean, I can think of a lot of people we shouldn't let back into the country, but Tucker Carlson isn't one of them. there's quite a few people we should catapult out.
Practicing and engaging in journalism.
Exactly. It's straight up journalism, but you can see how fragile the left's narrative is, especially about Russia and about Putin, where they can't even allow one journalist to ask a single honest question and hear Putin's response to America, you know, because I'll just be straight up honest about most Americans see Putin as making a whole lot more sense than Joe Biden.
Well, and I think most Americans realize that Zelensky is a comic actor who was hired to act like the president. But there's unlimited number of interviews with him in the American media where he talks about Russia as the aggressor. But very few people talk about the fact that what we're doing right now in Ukraine is in violation of the Budapest Memorandum, which we signed. We agreed when Russia agreed to unify West and East Germany. We in turn agreed not to push Ukraine into NATO, which really means we agreed not to put offensive missiles pointed at Russia, paid for by us through NATO, on the ground in Ukraine. this administration has pushed forward with that in violation of an agreement that we signed. And that's Putin's concern. This idea that he wants to take Ukraine and then he's going to take Poland and then he'll take Germany and then he's going to take France. That's never said any of that.
It's nonsense.
Yeah. Nonsense.
All right. So, Roger, what are your plans for, are you, and I apologize, I honestly don't know, are you going to help the Trump campaign or are you advising? Do you have strategies to share with Trump? How are you going to help us take America back?
I have no official capacity with the president's campaign, nor do I want one. I do enjoy his friendship, and he said many kind things about me and my wife. As you know, my wife survived a virulent bout of cancer, but through the healing power of Jesus Christ and because of the alternative therapies that she chose to pursue, she's now 2.5 years cancer-free. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow, thank you.
But the president, I've spent time with him. I'm in regular touch with him. He's got some excellent people working on his campaign. Not all of them, but the vast majority of them. His campaign leadership is superb. These are the people I would choose for him if it were up to me to choose. And of course, it isn't. But these are precisely the people that I would have chosen. They are loyal. They're efficient. They're wise. They're experienced. His campaign is very, very calibrated, very disciplined, and very carefully budgeted because he does have this drain, you know, for legal fees, which has to come out of the various political committees. But he's running an excellent campaign. I can honestly say, as a veteran of 13 national presidential campaigns, going all the way back to Nixon, 3 campaigns with Reagan, my service to Bob Dole, my fervent service to Donald Trump, this is the best run presidential campaign I have seen, and it shows. The results in Iowa, he didn't just win. He won by 3 times the previous high watermark.
Right.
He didn't just – and New Hampshire, which was a setup, if there was any place where he was going to be stopped, it was in New Hampshire, where while state law does say that registered independents can vote in the Republican primary – they can only do so when the New Hampshire Republican State Committee has approved resolution, approved that. It was never taken in the Republican State Committee. So the Secretary of State allowed independents to vote in the primary, which, by the way, is traditional, but in the past was always approved by the Republican State Committee. Independents in New Hampshire, because of the influx of migrants from Massachusetts, they lean left, very far left. And then, of course, if you were a Democrat, if you change your registration to independent by October 6th, you would have been allowed to vote in the recent primary. Nikki Haley, who is just a pawn, she's a puppet being used by the Biden and the globalists to try to damage Trump. She spent $38 million, by my calculation. Trump spent about $18. She had the active support of Governor Chris Sununu, one of the most vile rhinos I've ever come across. I had extensive dealings with his father. He was a pig-eyed liar as well, kind of runs in the family. They pulled out all the stops, and Trump still beat them by double digits because he ran an excellent campaign. He's going to sweep the Nevada primary, which is today. He's going to sweep the Nevada delegate caucuses on Thursday. He's Nikki Haley didn't even compete, and Ron DeSantis's support kind of fell away. But more importantly, South Carolina, the home state of Nikki Haley, he's going to wallop her. He could beat her as big as 2-1. It's notable that the governor of South Carolina, the lieutenant governor, the leaders of both houses of the legislature, the Republican leaders, a majority of the congressional delegation, the Republicans, they all support Donald Trump over their own former governor, who all they all know well. It tells you a great deal. So
why is Nikki Haley still even in the race?
Because she's a pawn. I mean, she's being used to try to damage Trump. So there's really 2 possibilities. One, you keep her in the race to continue to attack Trump to try to assist Joe Biden. And who knows, maybe she gets a cabinet position out of Biden or whoever the ultimate Democrat is, because I'm not convinced it will be Biden. Or secondarily, she thinks, I think incorrectly, that she can force her way onto the ticket, that Trump will say, well, the way to bind up the divisions in the party is to take this neocon for vice president. If that were true, Mike, Donald Trump would need a food taster. She is completely duplicitous. She's just as dangerous as Lyndon Johnson. You could not turn your back on her for an episecond. Proof is in the pudding. She looked Donald Trump in the eye and she said, Mr. President, you are among our greatest presidents. If you run again, I'm not going to run. But today, she's running. That tells you everything you need to know. Her word is no good. And her worldview is the same as Lindsey Graham. Bomb now, ask questions later.
Well, yeah, but of course, I think she came out of Boeing, another weapons manufacturer that stands to profit from all of this. And it seems like we're ruled by either big pharma or big weapons manufacturers most of the time. But Trump's supporters would not stand for Nikki Haley to be the VP candidate. Who do you think, Roger, is the most likely person to take the VP slot with Trump?
Well, first of all, former President Richard Nixon once told me that in selecting a vice presidential running mate, don't look for somebody who can help you. Try to select someone who doesn't hurt you. And while that may be somewhat cynical, it's actually pretty good advice. Trump needs someone who, first and foremost, has the experience, the qualifications, the temperament, and the judgment to be president. They also have to have a commitment to the America First anti-globalist agenda. Those are the highest requirements. Now let's look at the politics of it. You need someone who doesn't upset your base of supporters, but allows you to reach out to a voter group where you can make gains. So by definition, that could be an African-American, or it could be somebody is Hispanic, or it could be someone who is a woman. I think he's got a lot of great choices. He's the greatest showman of all time. He understands that this is a matter of great public interest. He's going to tease it right up until the moment he's made a decision. Today, I don't honestly think he's made a decision, or if he has, it's a tentative decision since he shared it with no one. He has the capability of changing his mind. But I think he needs to pick someone who's anti-war, who wants to seal the border without any question, someone who will put America first, doesn't want to send billions more to Ukraine to be stolen or wasted. I mean, what's going on in this country is really insane. We see two New York City police officers get the daylights beat out of them by a group of illegal migrants. And then the district attorney doesn't ask for incarceration. They're granted or any bond. They're basically just released on their own recognizance. Of course, they split.
Yes.
That's outrageous.
Absolutely.
Yet, that same district attorney trying to prosecute somebody for selling fake vaccination cards. Unbelievable. In Washington State, we're now going to give $1,000 to every illegal on a monthly basis, taking that money out of COVID-19 funding.
Unbelievable. A UBI for illegals. Yeah.
In New York City, the mayor has just approved a program for $53 million for preloaded credit cards, which we're going to give to illegals in the shelters in New York City. Meanwhile, we have homeless veterans who are hungry in New York City.
That's right.
Who's taking care of them?
That's
Americans.
Right.
Who's taking care of them?
No. The American people have been abandoned by the administration, and our replacements have arrived. This is a replacement of America. That's the aim of the Democrats. Let me ask you this. We're almost out of time, Roger, but in your assessment, based on what you know right now, if we were to have an honest election, and I know that's not possible because the Democrats will cheat every chance they get, but theoretically, if it were an honest election, by how much would Trump win in this coming election?
I think he would win the popular vote nationally, comfortably. I think he would. This is today. Let's recognize that in politics, polls are a measure of a snapshot of time. It's the episecond of time, and things can change dramatically. So, and they know that. So if you have some staged terrorist attack on American soil, that could royal thing and change things. But if this election were held today, in this moment, Trump would win every swing state by a margin slightly larger than the margin of error in all of these polls. And he would sweep the popular vote as well. The bottom has dropped out for the Democrats. There is no support. The fact that they had the South Carolina primary yesterday, and while Joe Biden got 97% of the vote, the overall turnout was extraordinarily anemic. Nobody showed up to vote because there is no enthusiasm for the Biden candidacy. So as of today, if we have a free, fair, honest, transparent election, Trump would win comfortably. Now, are we going to have such an election? That remains to be seen. This time, however, the Republicans, or I should say Trump, will be far more prepared both legally and technically to ferret out irregularities and anomalies on election night. They're not going to get away with locking Republican observers out of the polling places and dumping a bunch of fake ballots like they did in Michigan.
How are they not going to get away with that?
It's very simple. You go directly to a judge and you get an order to make them open the doors. And then you also have to stymie the police. The Detroit police were being used as thugs that night. By the way, you got the former Detroit chief of police running for governor as a Republican. You were the chief of police that night. What's your answer? And he says, well, I was off duty that night. Please give me a break. Please give me a break.
Okay. Well, Roger, your analysis is just extraordinary. Your experience with so many campaigns and so many national leaders, really, you have a wealth of knowledge about this. And I really appreciate your insight and also your passion and courage for America. So I just want to thank you for joining me today.
I'm delighted to be here. And again, folks can go to stonezone.com and check out everything I'm up to. You know, they say in politics, a man is not finished when he's defeated. He's only finished when he quits. And I can assure you, Mike, in the struggle for America, I, among others, will never quit.
All right. Well stated. Yeah. StoneZone.com is the website, folks. And that's Roger Stone. Thank you, Roger. God bless you. God bless America. Thank you for joining me today.
God bless you. Thank you.
And thank all of you for watching. As always, feel free to repost this interview on other platforms and other channels. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, a free speech channel. But you have our permission to go ahead and post it on Rumble and other platforms as well. And support Roger's website, stonezone.com, and also give him credit in a link if you do repost this video. Thank you for watching today. God bless you all. God bless America. Take care. Well, our formulators at healthrangerstore.com have been hard at work, and we've got two exciting new formulations to share with you. The first is banana, peanut butter, and chocolate superfood shake. And this, I mean, it's super delicious. Wait till you find out about the ingredients. You can find this at healthrangerstore.com. The ingredients are so clean and simple. Look at this. Organic whey protein powder, banana powder, peanut butter powder, organic cocoa powder, and organic cocoa sugar. Notice, no flavors, no fillers, no artificial sweeteners, no aspartame, or of course, garbage like that. We don't use that stuff. This is available now. It's super delicious. It's an instant shake, and it's got whey protein in it. So that's even extra delicious. And then we have another product called Organic Adaptogen Ginger Latte. It's an immune support drink. It's available now in these 10-ounce bags. The ingredients on this are also really amazing. Of course, it's USDA organic, laboratory tested. But look at this. It's based on organic coconut milk powder, coconut sugar, ginger powder, reishi mushroom powder, and then some other mushrooms, shiitake, cordyceps, turkey tail, maitake, chaga, and lion's mane powder. So this is it's a ginger latte, super delicious, and it's got the immune support benefits of all those mushrooms. Both of these products are available now. Again, we've been very busy with a lot of new formulations, and these are just some of the few products that we have coming out. We've got a lot more. If you go to the homepage of healthrangerstore.com, you'll see we've also got organic purple barley flakes, which are very high in natural anthocyanins as well. This is an ancient grain that has some of the best nutritional potency of anything in the category of grains. So that's worth checking out. We've also got Greens Plus Superfood Powder and so much more. Check out what we have on sale this week right here. We've got featured categories. We've got our new product lined up here. Oh, mango slices in number 10 cans. That's also certified organic and freeze-dried for long-term storage. And here's some pineapple wedges as well. Don't forget about our organic butter powder. I mean, we've got so much coming into stock right now. I think we have the best selection that we've ever had and a lot of new formulations that are incredibly delicious. So thank you for supporting us here at Brighteon.com. And the way you support this platform is shopping at healthrangerstore.com, where our slogan is healing the world with clean food. We do more laboratory testing than anybody else in this space, probably I mean, anybody in the world, no retailer tests their food as extensively as we do. It's our food, our supplements, our personal care products, all of it laboratory tested, heavy metals, glyphosate, and of course, aflatoxin for the nuts and seeds, as well as microbiology, E. coli, salmonella, yeast and mold, and more. So check it all out, healthrangerstore.com, and thank you for your support.